We're doing our final Binyan HaBayit class of this semester, the final class on the Jewish home. And I wanted us to focus tonight on Yamim Tovim. We're entering the holiday season. We just had Rosh Hashanah. We're going to have Yom Kippur on Shabbos, and then Sukkot. And if there's one time of the year that is very important and can be very challenging to the family, it's the holiday season. It's the time that we all get together. It has great potential, and at the same time, it has great potential for a lot of things. So Yom Tov in the Torah is called Mo'ed. Mo'ed could mean a set time. Mo'ed could mean Hitva'adut, a time of gathering. Yom Tov is called Mikra Kodesh. Mikra Kodesh could mean declaration of holiness. Mikra Kodesh could mean unification of holiness, like Kiru'ei Eida, the people who were called together. So Yom Tov, by definition, is a time of unity. It's a time where families are supposed to get together. Children go to their parents, to their grandparents. And when everyone's together, the question is, what happens? Does Chaim pick on Chevi, who picks on Shimon, who picks on Sarah? You know, each one's pulling at the other one's hair, flinging food at one another. Before you know it, Yom Tov can be a time where parents are yelling, stop, put your fork down, don't poke your sister with the knife. Yom Tov could really be a time of a lot of stress. So if we prepare in advance, then very often we can alleviate some of that stress. How does that work? Well, let's say Sukkos is coming out. When are you going to buy your lulav and esrog and your arba minima, lulav, esrog, hadasim, and aravos? So some people say, I'll go 2 hours before Yom Tov to the shuk when the prices are dirt cheap, and then I'll buy them. Okay, that's legitimate if you have everything ready. But if your wife needs you then to help bathe the kids and to set the table and get everything ready, and you're out in the shuk to get the best price, I'm not sure you really saved an amount that was worth it. If we think in advance, we realize there are going to be trouble spots. We know the last hour and a half, 2 hours before Shabbos and Yom Tov are always going to be hectic times. So a person should try, if a person has a minute to go to the mikveh, let him go early. If a person wants to shower, let him shower earlier. You don't have to shower the last hour of the day. You could shower at noon, and you could be ready. You could daven mincha gedola, and then you have more time. If a person can help with the cooking and help to see that the shopping gets done earlier and the cooking gets done earlier, so that hopefully you enter Yom Tov, where 4 hours before Yom Tov everything is ready. So this doesn't have to be theory, but it requires planning and it requires being available to help. Now, let's assume everyone was yelling at everyone the way usually happens at Erev Yom Tov and Erev Shabbos. And now Yom Tov settles in. There's nothing to yell about anymore. Finally, we got here. So now what? I can tell you that I already bought, I went to a candy store, and I bought about 15 different types of candy. Don't tell my kids. Each one in a separate little bag, so that I have a little bag of candy that their grandparents send them by mail. You know, their grandparents, they get envelopes. They don't know it has to have a stamp and everything else on it. So we send in the name of the grandparents. My parents live in the United States. So sometimes they really do send things. And sometimes they tell us to put stuff in the mailbox for them. And then they get things from Saba and Safta. So some of those bags are going to be from them. And some of those bags are, one's going to be for Yom Tov night. And one's going to be when I sit down with the kids to learn the first Yom Tov and the next day Chol HaMoed. We shouldn't expect the kids to want to learn for nothing. We shouldn't expect the kids to want to go to shul. There isn't necessarily anything too exciting going on in shul for a child. But if the child knows that he's going to get a sweet in shul, so that makes it exciting. I could tell you in our shul in Kohav Yaakov, I give out candies to the kids Friday night. Shabbos morning, I give out ragalach, make kiddush, and I give ragalach to the kids after davening. I think it's very important to make the things sweet for kids. And there's nothing wrong with that. And some people have the custom that they go with the children, and in the store, the children choose out a nash in honor of Shabbos, in honor of Yom Tov. You should try to make the one in honor of Yom Tov more than the one that they usually get for Shabbos. In many families, you have Shabbos cereal, where all week long they eat the healthy cereal, and then for Shabbos, you buy the junk cereal. Fine. These little things make a difference. The children, they know. For Yom Tov, they get the sweets of Yom Tov. I still remember as a kid the lollipop that we'd get in honor of Yom Tov. I remember it was different than the lollipop we got in Shabbos during the year. Buying new clothing for Yom Tov. So there's a basis for that in halacha. First of all, for your wives. The halacha says you're supposed to make your wife happy for Yom Tov. So how do you make her happy? You get her a nice piece of jewelry. You get her a nice dress. Something nice. If you can afford it. For the children, it's also nice if a parent and a child has a new shirt to wear for Yom Tov. If you're going to get a new suit anyways, it's nice that you save the new suit for Yom Tov. This is the custom in Am Yisrael already for many, many years, that we try to buy the new clothing, the new shirt, the new pants, the new shoes. We save them for Yom Tov, in honor of Yom Tov. You need a new pants and it's in the middle of the year and there's no Yom Tov around, so you wear it in honor of Shabbos. Fine. But I'm saying, customarily, people would buy their children and people would buy their wives and themselves the new suit whenever they needed it and the new shoes and pants in honor of Yom Tov. So that's something which is a nice thing to do. And again, for the children, it's exciting. We had years where the children didn't need anything new. So for the girls, we'd buy new hair ribbons. You know, for them, that's a big deal. They don't need a new dress. What are you going to waste the money for? Fun. So ribbons is for 5 shekel, 10 shekel, whatever it is. But for her, she got something new. For the kid, he got a new yarmulke. Fine. 12 shekel and he's happy. But it's important. When we want to make something special, so very often the approach and the preparations and the speaking about it makes it special. If you tell your child, look, we're going to go buy a lulav together. On Tuesday, you and I are going to buy a lulav. So from Sunday already, you're talking about it. It's special. If you grab the kid and say, now we're going to buy a lulav, get your shoes on, come, we're going. You miss something. If you tell him 10 days in advance, you tell him a week in advance, you start showing him pictures, you start taking a safer and showing him, you see, this is what we're going to look for, and this is what we're going to look for. Let's open up a lemon today, and then see if we can compare what a lemon looks like to what we'll see in the store with the estrogen. You're already building in the child's mind, this is something special. And then when you go to the store and you start looking at the lulavim and the estrogim and everything else, you've done something. And this is one of the beautiful things that the ganim do. They instill in the children, long before kaparos come, our children are talking about kaparos. Kaparos is the custom that they take a chicken, swing it around the head. Ganim is the nurseries, the children's day schools. If a child goes to a good Orthodox gan, so then his teacher is going to tell him, Yom Kippur is coming, they're going to say Kol Nidre, your father's going to wear the kittel, the white suit. But it could be that he's not being taught that. So then that's where it's your job, you and your wife, to share with the kid what's coming up. And then when the evening of Yom Kippur comes, it's good to tell him, what's Abba going to wear now? And why? We're all like angels. And what are we not going to do on Yom Kippur? For my kids, it's fun not to wash hands on Yom Kippur. You know, it's a challenge. Will you remember how you wash exactly? They learn about it a week in advance. So then by the time they get there, they've anticipated it. And the anticipation makes it exciting. This is different. Kids talk about how late did you guys daven on Yom Kippur? How big a break did you have on Yom Kippur? And then they mimic the tunes. You'll be surprised how early kids start joining in the tunes if you share it with them as something positive. If it's something fun, if going to shul is something interesting, so even though it's very long, you see little kids can start singing the tunes because they get with it. And part of it is the attitude that we convey to the kids. If we come home from shul and say, oh, what a long davening. Boy, who could handle that? You know, okay, fine. So you told the kids something. You come home and you start mimicking the tunes and singing the tunes and you talk about how these tunes go with you the whole year, which is the way I feel. I feel like the Rosh Hashanah tunes are inspiring for a year long, so you're giving the child something. You talk to the child about how this chazan does this and this mitzvah and that chazan does that mitzvah and look at what tremendous people we have representing us on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. You're giving the child of a feeling of connection to the community, to the tefillah, to the shul, and that's important. And these opportunities come once a year. You have your Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, and Sukkot, and that's it. Then you're going to have 6 planned months. You know, Hanukkah doesn't have too much to do with shul. And the same, so we said, talking about things in advance, talking about things afterwards. Some husbands say, how am I going to get my wife a dress? I don't know what she likes. So I'll tell you, there's this concept called going shopping with the one. You know, it's a doable thing, and you'll see that rabbis do it with their wives too. The same thing with helping children get clothes. How's she going to run around after the kids in the store? Sometimes she needs your help. And these are things that, again, we have to anticipate and prepare for. There isn't that much time left till Sukkot. Some women are happy getting their own clothing. Fine. But if she wants your help and she wants you to be there to choose, so you got to figure out how to do it and take the time out and go and do it. Chazal said, that's your mitzvah. It says, you have a mitzvah to be happy on Yom Tov, so you eat meat and you drink wine. Women aren't as excited over meat and wine. You want to make her happy on Yom Tov. Your mitzvah to make her happy is to buy her a nice dress, buy her a nice perfume. Now when the Yom Tov comes, so then we also have to prepare and think how we're going to take advantage of the Yom Tov. So some people think it's a great time to back up my computer. You know, I'm going to have excellent time. I'll upload, I'll download, I'll back up. We make all kinds of, is it mutter, is it not mutter? That's a good question. Maybe it's not mutter to do it on Chol HaMoed. Yom Tov, I'll catch up on all my sleep. Yom Kippur, they didn't give me that much time to sleep. Rosh Hashanah, I didn't have time to sleep. Oh, Sukkot, I'll sleep out there in the hammock. So you should know that you could sleep on Yom Tov, fine. But you should also know that it's an ideal time to go for a walk with your wife, to go for a walk with the kids, to sit down with the kids and talk to them and tell them stories. It's you have time on Yom Tov and on Chol HaMoed, and you should take advantage of that time, not just to sleep, but to invest it in the family. Going for a walk with the wife means you're giving her an opportunity to talk and to schmooze. You guys know what it means to schmooze? To talk idly. But it's very important to spend that time. When young couples come, we often recommend, my wife and I often recommend that they buy a game of Rummy Cub. You guys know what Rummy Cub, Rummy Cube, you know what that is. Friday night, sit down and play a board game together. Spend some time together. Men will often like chess. So, you know, there's the fighter in them. And women are going to like solitaire. So where are you going to find the middle ground? So Rummy Cube is a nice middle ground. You have that little bit of a challenge and a little bit of mutual play. Fine, I'm not telling you what board game to play, but I'm saying the concept, the idea of taking time, taking calm time together is very important. If you have time during the year to do it, very good. Some couples do it every Shabbos, beautiful. Some couples do it once a week during the week, excellent. And if even they will benefit if they take special time on Yom Tov to spend that time together. Same thing with hikes. What about same thing with taking the kids? You could take the kids for a trip without her. Yes, I know. It sounds funny, but give her some time to read a book and rest and do what she wants. When you spend time with kids, so I saw big rabbis playing handball with their kids. You have to spend the time on their level. So you could be your nuclear scientist, but don't sit down and talk to him nuclear physics because that's not what he needs. He needs a game of handball. He needs to go and catch worms and bugs. That's what kids like doing. So maybe you should go with him and look with him at all those little ants climbing. And for a kid, that could be fascinating, watching the ants and seeing how they work. It's important to talk. I recommend every Shabbos that a parent take time to talk to each child. Who do you sit next to in school? How does the teacher treat you in school? What do you... Talk to the kid. Get to know your own kids. Now in trips, there's a lot you could teach a child. I'm not talking about Torah. Torah, of course, you could tell stories from Torah and Midrashim, and again, that involves preparation. Meaning some things you might know, and some things if you prepare, you'll do a better job at them. But when I take my kids on trips, aside from telling them stories from the Talmud and the Torah that pertain to our trip, I also take along different things with science. So on one trip, I'll take along a magnifying glass, a few magnifying glasses, and we'll start experimenting on what we could burn during the trip and what you could magnify. And for the kids, you don't have to go very far. You go 5 minutes from the house. And by us, you could go down to Lifta. You go somewhere out where there's wilderness, somewhere where there are trees growing. And you just start looking at science. Look at the trunk of a tree. Look, find where there are a bunch of insects. And you have a very exciting trip for the kids. One trip will take magnifying glasses. The next trip will take a book on the trees, so we can try to identify which trees, which parts of the tree. And different trips, we try to focus on different things in nature and let them have an appreciation for the beautiful world they live in. On a different trip, we'll look at the stars and we'll take a book on astronomy. They could start understanding what's going on in the sky. Not that I've succeeded on that, but I've tried. But I'm saying it's interesting for them to hear. Then you try to get them to see the shapes. And Big Dipper, Little Dipper. I don't know. I have to figure out a better way of showing that. But at any rate, I'm saying when we go on trips, so the time with the children can be very, very, very productive. When I used to teach in elementary school, I always used to say we could learn more on a trip than we could learn in the classroom. Just have to prepare for the trip. But if you thought it out, you could really do that. Now, what about shul? Taking children to shul. So we mentioned the tunes. It's important that shul not be pressured, but shul be something enjoyable. When we used to come here, back when we used to be here on Shabbos and Yom Tov, so I had set people who were my candy men. There's no candy men here in Machon Meir as far as I know. So there were set people who I'd bring lollies to. And I'd say, could you come by my son in a few minutes and give him a lollipop? Because I knew that to encourage him to come, he needed to get a lollipop. And there was no one here giving out lollipops, and it couldn't come from me, because then, why didn't you give me the lolly at home? What do I have to go to shul for? So I'm not the one who gave it, but when he wasn't looking, I'd slip a candy to one of my candy men. And in every shul, I had a different candy man. And the people like it. Over here, the guy developed into a full-fledged candy man, I hear. I don't know. You don't know, you don't get a candy on Shabbos? But there is a candy man. Most shuls have a candy man. I don't know. Here there wasn't one. And then this guy started buying his own candies. I don't know if he's still doing it. So it's a good thing. A child has to first get used to the idea of coming to shul and being in shul. And that's normal to be in shul. And that's what everyone does. With time, as they start learning the tefillah, each child according to their age. There's no set age. You can't force a kid to come to shul. You know, some kids are ready to come at 6 years old, at 7 years old, at 8 years old, depending on the kid. But I'm saying it's good to encourage the kid to be positive about going to shul. They have to get used to sitting quietly in shul, to being a part of the tefillah. And what I try to do is to give my children jobs in shul, so that they don't have to sit all the time. They could be the one giving out the chumashim, they could be the one collecting the chumashim, they could be the one cleaning up. But if they have jobs, so then they don't have to sit straight. It's not just about coming to shul and sitting. So I'll try to send my children to do things. So it's not, they don't have to sit there and they're very happy. You know, my son used to say he loves the shul where his job is to clean up all the tablecloths and everything else. That's what he liked, because there he had more to do. In some shuls, they let the kids sing Anim Zmiros and open the Arna Kodesh. Fine. But the direction we're thinking of is getting the child to be comfortable and happy about going to shul. So what did we discuss today? We discussed Yom Tov being family time. We discussed preparation for that family time, preparation in helping at home. We discussed preparing with having nash for the Yom Tov. We discussed setting up time to learn with each child and setting up preparing stories to tell them and giving them nash when we're learning with them. We discussed making the mitzvos of the Yom Tov special, telling them in advance we're going to buy a lulav, telling them in advance about kaparas and about kol nidre, and then talking about it afterwards. We discussed going with the wife to get her dress for Yom Tov, and the minig that we have special clothing for Yom Tov, that if we're going to buy a new shirt or a new suit or new shoes, it'll be for Yom Tov. We discussed helping with getting the children their clothes for Yom Tov. We discussed on Yom Tov spending time with the wife, be it playing a board game or going for walks or going on hikes. We discussed taking the kids so that she has time off. We discussed spending time schmoozing with the wife and time with the kids, and that we should try to make that time time where they grow, and not only in Torah, but also in science and seeing Hashem's beautiful world. And we ended up with a discussion about shul and not pressuring about shul, making it fun. It's okay that they want to go to shul only to get the lollipop, but at least they want to go to shul. And trying to find jobs where they could be productive in shul and they don't have to sit for 2 hours straight. Any questions? Okay. So, I... I want to end off with one story you guys should all be aware of. It's not pleasant to hear, but you have to know it anyways. It's over half a decade ago. There was a student of Machon Meir who was about to get engaged. And then a Yom Tov came, I don't remember if it was Sukkot or Pesach or what. And he used to, I want to change the facts to protect the identity of the people involved. He used to be a skiing instructor. So he said, what'd you say?
Diving.
Yeah, okay. So he said to the girl, everything's going great, but I'm going to the Alps for Sukkot because there's a lot of business then, and then I'll be teaching so many people about skiing. So she called me up and she said, does this guy have any concept of what a Yom Tov is? That Yom Tov is being with family, and if we're about to get engaged, he should be with my family or with a family on Yom Tov. What does that mean? He's going to be without a Jewish community and just because... So he's going on Chol Moed, fine. First the Yom Tov is here, Matzah Yom Tov, the all of Chol Moed, and the last day's Yom Tov is out in the Swiss Alps. But that's not a Jewish life. A Jewish life is about being with a Jewish family. And I tried to talk to him, and I tried to explain it to him, but... when she asked me, can you tell me, after we're engaged, is he also going to want to go? After we're married, will he want to take me and the kids to the Swiss Alps instead of being in a Jewish shul and with a Jewish family and a Jewish community for Yom Tov? So I couldn't lie. I said, you have to ask him. You can't ask me. I'd like to say no, but I don't know. And to make a long story short, they broke it off. That was like a breaking point by her. She said, if he doesn't have a concept that Yom Tov is about being with family and Yom Tov is about... even if it means you lose a certain amount of money, but what are you working for if not to be with the Jewish community and a family on Yom Tov? So then I'm not sure what surprises I have down the road either. And based on that, she broke it off. I mean, we tried to save it, but that was one of the phone conversations that caused us to have a Binyan HaBayit class here, and that's one of the reasons why we just had this class, because I learned the hard way that it's important to discuss these things before you guys get engaged. It should be part of the concept starting now.